Welcome to the Dildorks Dorky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and wow, I didn't think of a third thing. We have, like, no time to record this today, so we're gonna do a two-parter. So this is gonna be part one, and it's gonna be a little brief little thing. But so we're just breezing on through it. Who are you, friend? No second also, takes, fuck all of that.
Also, we just came from brunch, where Kate had a drink.
It was quite a drink, if I might say so.
It was so much of a drink.
There was much drink in that drink. But you know what? I'm on vacation, and it's the holidays, and it's the new year soon. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Well, I'm Bex. I'm a sex blogger, a sex educator, and fuck, this has been a long year.
Yeah. Wow. It's been an amazingly long year. We're here together in New York. Quite rare. Usually we're on Skype. But we're just here chilling like a couple of best friends.
Wow. Wow, we're really just committing to this one take thing, huh?
You know, that's all we got. The Dildorks uncut. I love foreskin.
Oh,
great.
Oh my god. Fuck. Okay, we're talking, it's the end of the year. We have to talk about end of the year
shit. Yeah, we're doing our year-end wrap-up. And, Bex, what kind of year was it in your sex life?
An interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
I think this is the year where my gender has had the biggest impact on my sex life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started feeling dysphoria more intensely than I ever had in the past. And, like, have been kind of figuring out what sex looks like for me now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
How's that going for you?
I don't know. I've had some sex recently that was, like, incredibly affirming.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really cool. That was the first time. Like, I've had sex that was just like, all right, fine, you know, whatever. But that was the first time I've had sex that was, like, actively really awesome
mm-hmm.
for my gender. So that was really cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, more of that in 2019, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. How's your sex life been this year?
It's been a weird and interesting year for me, too. Depending on what you define as sex, I think, like, upwards of, like, 80, 90% of my sex life has been phone sex this year. Like, almost every night for almost a year. So that's been really interesting because I feel like my kinks have become a lot more psychological. Like, they still were before, but that's become even more true this year. And it's been really interesting to see, you know, how my brain evolves as a result of that. I also feel, like, overall better now that I'm having orgasms, like, almost every day. I feel like my brain is just doing better.
Yeah, I found, so last year very much was the year of sexting for me. I had a long-distance partner, and the majority of my sex was sexting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I found myself leaning very heavily on, like, the psychological aspects of kink. And now, I don't know, also because there was a lot of that wrapped up in that relationship, so I've kind of, like, backed away from it for a little bit. But I'm just kind of wading my way back into it, and it's interesting, yeah, seeing the ways that those were so important to me just because those were what I had access to as well. Like, I love them, but also,
yeah,
that's what you've got, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, my partner always says that, like, I'm fucking my own body, but he is fucking my brain, and that is how it feels to me. And it's been really nice because I feel like my definition of sex has, like, expanded and evolved, which is good, I think, because, like, the more, you know, the broader your definition is, the more you can enjoy yourself, theoretically, so.
Yeah, and once one thing is different from, like, that standard narrative, it kind of gives you permission to question all of the other things, right?
Yeah.
You know, it kind of opens up this level of creativity and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very true. Do you know? I know that you don't keep a sex spreadsheet like I do.
I don't. And it's because, honestly, it's because my Virgo brain gets really overwhelmed mm-hmm. with all of the different definitions of sex. And yeah. I'm like, shit, I don't know what even goes on the list. And how do I even categorize things? Like, sex is so nebulous a concept for me. The thought of trying to break it down into a spreadsheet, there is no way for me to do it as comprehensively as I want to.
Yeah.
So I panic and run away.
That's understandable. I have sort of a working definition for myself, but it's still, like, ebbs and flows. And, like, even recently I had an issue where, like, my partner and I had sex. We both came. We cuddled for, like, 20 minutes. And then we were going to leave to go to a thing. But then we decided impulsively to just, like, quickly have him fuck me for, like, 2 minutes, like, right before we left. And I was looking at my spreadsheet being like, do I count that as, like, two different instances of sex? Do I count it as all one? I ended up writing it as all one, but it's, like, I don't know. It's very arbitrary.
Yeah.
But anyway, I know that you don't have a spreadsheet like I do, so you might not know this off the top of your head, but do you know how many partners you had this year?
Oh, shit, partners. See, I thought you were... shit. I think 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Is that, yeah. like, how does that compare to your years generally?
I think that's pretty standard, slightly on the higher end, mm-hmm. because I've actually, like, becoming more involved in, like, my community and, like, local events and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of the sex I had was at events this year, and most of them were not local, but I went to a lot of events this year.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of the year, I started getting more involved in local stuff, and I'm kind of expecting that, or hoping that's where things will go in 2019.
Yeah, that's good. I remember last year we were talking about how one of your goals was you wanted to get more involved in the kink scene and also in, like, public DS stuff. So,
yeah.
Nice. Well done on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only had 3 partners this year, which is quite low for me. Like, in previous years, it's been, like, 10, 12. So the only people I fucked this year are my boyfriend and someone who was previously my boyfriend and my friend with benefits. Cause I just kind of feel fulfilled by what's going on in my life right now, and I haven't super wanted to, like, go date more people or hook up with more people. It just, like, takes a lot of mental energy.
Yeah.
Like, dating is exhausting, and also I've been, like, quite depressed for a large part of this year, so I was finding it difficult to find motivation to go out and meet new people, and it was just easier to, like, stay home and have phone sex with my partner while wearing pajamas and eating pizza in bed, so...
Yeah. Yeah, relatable.
Good times. What a
I'm
weird
realizing
year.
More and more how much of, like, my dating preferences are just... Sometimes I meet people and go, oh, I want to date them.
Mm-hmm.
And if no one shows up, then I'm perfectly content with my ice cream and my magic wand. Like, I have Marvel movies. I am just... I don't... And then every once in a while, people show up and I'm like, oh, yeah, dating. Yeah, we should do that.
See, I'm so the opposite of that. Like, if I'm not dating anyone, I'm actively stressed about it almost at all times. And that's something that I tried to work through in therapy and should probably do some more work on. It's not great.
But then you just started dating someone and didn't have to worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, that's all taken care of. I'm fine now.
Problem solved.
That's healthy. That's sustainable. Wow. Jesus. You know, instead of therapy, how about you just start a podcast and tweet a lot? It's a joke, but it's true.
My therapist would not approve.
No, no.
Nope.
Mine probably wouldn't either, but she was a time-limited therapist and I can't afford it anymore. Healthcare is broken, even in Canada. Anyway, let's move on from this very dark tangent. I want to talk to you about locations. We always talk about locations in our year-end wrap-up. Did you have sex in any weird places this year?
I had a lot of sex in hotels.
Mm-hmm, same.
And, like, sex outside and at the dungeon and camp.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people find those interesting, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I just like them because I get to access the leather slings. Those are my favorite. I think that's it. I don't think anywhere particularly interesting.
Yeah. I had sex in a lot of beautiful hotels this year. Because my boyfriend is a fancy boy, and when I come to New York, we stay in a hotel, and some of them were super beautiful, If you're coming to New York and you want to fuck in a hotel where an entire wall is a plate glass window because you have some kind of voyeurism or exhibitionism feelings, I would recommend the Standard High Line. That is a beautiful hotel. But yeah, lots of hotel sex. I know that we've talked before about how much we both love hotel sex.
Yeah.
It's kind of the best thing.
It's really good.
And one thing I learned this year that I didn't know previously about hotel sex is they're uniquely suited for water sports. Because, like, you know, I can do water sports in my own home. I have a bathtub. It's fine. But, like, there is something about, like, this room doesn't belong to me. And also the bathtub is usually much more spacious in a hotel than it would be in my house. And so, like, my first water sports experience this year was, like, in a hotel in Boston where there was, like, one of those giant, like, walk-in showers. And my partner, like, laid down on the floor, which was this beautiful, like, stone tile floor. And I pissed in his mouth. Good times.
Perfect.
Well done. Yeah. Yeah.
I love those big walk-in showers.
They're so nice. Good. I know. Can I just become a wealthy New Yorker in the 80s and own one? That's my dream. I just want to be Eloise. I think that's actually what I want to be. This is my fantasy. Okay, speaking of new kinks, anything new you tried this year? New kinks, new activities, things that were new to you?
Honestly, not really. And I'll talk later about, like, how going into 2019 I want to do a lot more, like, new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, exploratory stuff. I got suspended for the first time. And that was kind of a, like, more of, it wasn't a super intense scene. It was more a friend just kind of showing me.
Mm-hmm.
But that was still a lot of fun. And I realized, like, I want to do a lot more of that.
I would imagine the rope suspension is really subspacey.
It's so nice. Cause my eyes, so when I get subspacey, my eyes close.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, with my eyes closed and just kind of floating there, it was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice. So I definitely want to do a lot more of that. Especially, like, I don't know how much I would pair it with impact, because I really like to brace myself against something for any kind of pain play
you'd
stuff.
You'd just be swinging back and forth like a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah, like, which I could see being really cool for someone who likes to be really, like, overwhelmed with sensation,
mm-hmm.
Or feel really chaotic.
Yeah.
But for me, what I like about subspace is how floaty it feels, mm-hmm. and suspension just kind of amplifies that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really like to pair it with sex stuff,
mm-hmm.
because just the idea of, like, no touch except someone's hands on me,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the bite of the rope, I think could be really, really hot.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to do more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent a lot more time with vulvas this year than I have in the past, which I am down for and would like to do.
Yeah, that's been on your goal list for, like, years.
I know. Vulvas are great.
Vulvas are great, yeah. It's
really good.
I spend most of my time with cocks, so, yeah.
Yeah, I realized I haven't had a dick in my mouth in, like, 4 months.
Wow.
I know. What am I even doing?
Your identity is shifting.
Fuck.
We're in your room right now, and there's, like, so much blowjob-related content on the walls.
There really is. I really need to suck a dick.
And it's just a blowjob den over here. Okay, I tried a million new things this year, so I don't know. I don't even know where to
this
begin.
This is the difference between you having a partner for most of the year,
right,
and me not having a partner for most of the year.
Yeah, I was very fortunate that I have a steady partner this whole year, and he is a sex nerd like me, and so I've had the opportunity to do all these, like, sex experiments and, like, trying new things that, like, I didn't trust anybody enough to do before because I was dating a whole bunch of fuckboys who wouldn't date me for more than a couple of months, so, or, like, I didn't like them. Like, it's, I shouldn't blame them all, although I do, but,
that, like, honestly, like, that is the thing I miss about being in relationships, is just having access to that level of, like, comfort and experimentation. And someone who you can just really, like, trust to have these, like, really nerdy conversations with and, like, explore stuff.
Yeah, every single time that I try a new kink with my partner or we're even, like, thinking about it, we always have a discussion of, like, what do you find hot about this? Like, what would your limits be around this? What kinds of, like, names or words work well for this? Mm-hmm. And then we usually have, like, a bunch of, like, debriefing conversations afterward if we do try it. Like, what was good? What wasn't good? What could be better? How, like, what other ways would you like to try this thing? And so, like, we're very methodical about it, which is, like, exactly what I've always wanted. And I'm really happy about it. So,
yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, I got to try, like, a bunch of things this year that I've been curious about for a really long time. Water sports, like I mentioned, that was really fun. I was expecting to be more of a bottom in that regard, but I actually think I enjoy topping more.
Okay.
Because, like, being peed on was, like, no big deal. Like, it, you know, it was hot in the sense of, like, it was an intimate thing, and, like, there was a dick near my face, but, like...
That's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I like dicks, and there is a prominently involved dick here.
Right. Like, it didn't inherently turn me on, I guess. But then, it turns out my partner really likes having his face peed on. and I, like, I'm not dommy, but there was something about the power trip of, like, peeing in someone's mouth and having them love it that I was, like... I don't know if I would quite say that I was turned on, but it was, like, really fun and enjoyable. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking a lot lately about how, like, that can be a perfectly valid measure of, like, whether sex is successful. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, super hot all the time. It can be fun in different ways.
Yeah, it comes back to that platonic kink stuff that we've been talking about, right? Where, like, even if you're not in a platonic relationship with this person, like...
Yeah.
I was trying to explain it to someone the other day, and it was, like... You know, sex and kink is a Venn diagram that doesn't overlap as much as I thought it did.
Like, yeah.
A lot of people think of it as a perfect circle, and it's not. And, like, right now I'm really interested in exploring the pieces that don't overlap.
Yeah.
You know, on either side, I think it's interesting because I've spent a lot of time in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm finding that I'm able to enjoy a lot more things if I kind of broaden my conception of that, and that's been really fun to find out.
Yeah.
I also did boot blacking this year, which I think I mentioned on last year's show as something I wanted to try. So, like, I think probably 3 or 4 times I, as, like, a ritualistic act of service, cleaned and shined my partner's shoes while, like, kneeling in front of him. And I knew it would probably make me subspacey, but it made me so much more subspacey than I was, like, even prepared for. Like, it was very, like, repetitive and almost hypnotic, and I kind of felt like I floated away and, like, went into, like, flow state kind of thing, and it was really satisfying to have this task that, like, I knew how to complete, and I know that he really liked it too, and, like, I blew him afterward a couple times, and, like, it was just really interesting. Also, because, like, it was a mostly silent activity, which is, like, really uncommon for us. Like, there's usually a lot of, like, talking and sounds and stuff. So it was interesting and, like, almost meditative to have this thing where we were both just, like, being really quiet while I was cleaning his shoes. And it's, like, another one of those weird things where, like, a vanilla person would be like, how are you getting enjoyment out of this? But, like, it was, you know, deeply satisfying in ways that are hard to even articulate.
Yeah, that's... That feeling of, like, satisfaction is really, I think, what I've been... really interested lately in that, like, because it's not sexual,
yeah,
but it is deeply satisfying.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. I think the major thing, though, if I had to pick out, like, one kink that was kind of, like, the biggest thing that I tried that was new, that would be hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
My partner, it's, like, his biggest kink, erotic hypnosis, and I tried it for the first time in the last week of 2017, so it's technically not new this year, but I did a lot more of it this year and sort of, like, learned what trance feels like and how it can be exciting and how it can be combined with DS and bondage and sadomasochism and little space and stuff, and it's, I think what I've taken away from that mostly is, like, how fun it can be if you have a partner who has different kinks from you, but is willing to sort of, like, meet you in the middle and figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that is so satisfying. It's not always possible. Like, you know, I think a lot of us have been with people whose kinks were, like, so far removed from ours that, like, we couldn't find a way to make them fit together. But in this case, like, we were able to bridge the gap to take this thing that was, like, previously not that hot to me and, like, make it hot through all these different ways. And, like, I've always been really into, like, having sex while intoxicated because I really kind of enjoy the sensation of being out of control of my body and not having to think and having my inhibitions taken away from me. And there's a lot of things about trance that are similar to that. That's been fun to play with. And I hypnotized my partner recently for the first time, which I think I'm going to talk about more next week, maybe.
Okay.
But yeah, that was fun. Would like to do more hypno stuff, always. Oh, and then I got, like, kicked and walked on and stepped on and stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it when you were talking earlier about, like, getting fucked while in rope bondage, how that would be, like, really chaotic and, like, jostly, because that was how I felt about being kicked. Like, I've been spanked so many times, like, I kind of thought it would feel like that, but, like, thuddier. But, like, I was braced against a bed, and the kicks were so powerful that, like, every time he kicked me, my, like, stomach would press against the bed, and, like, all the air would be, like, knocked right out of me.
Yeah.
Every single time. And so it was, like, really jostling me and, like, disorienting in the same way that, like, face slapping can be. It's like I didn't even have time to, like, recollect myself in between each hit. So I'd like to play more with that because it got me into subspace, like, faster than almost anything else.
Yeah. I've had a lot of femdom thoughts this year, which is relatively new to me.
Yeah.
Which actually kind of mirrors gender stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I don't know, it's weirdly affirming of my gender.
Yeah.
In that context. And, like, so is, like, really gay, really mask DS as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's just kind of conceptualizing myself in these archetypes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the subby boy femdom scene is, like, an aesthetic.
Yeah.
But, like, I've felt more drawn to that aesthetic lately, which is really cool. And that has manifested as, like, wanting to be stepped on by mean, pretty girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. that's new, and I haven't done that yet. But, like, and the problem is, like, I was watching Riverdale, and I was watching it with my roommate, and I was like, I just want Cheryl Blossom to step on me, and then I was like, oh my god, but, like, I do, though. I just said it and then learned it about myself all at once, and I really want that for me now.
Yeah, the being stepped on thing, that was another thing where, like, it was so different from what I was expecting. Because, like, I think I didn't really think about what it would physically feel like. I think I was thinking more about, like, the psychological aspect of that. But, like, my partner stepped on me in, like, fancy boy leather shoes. And so he would start on, like, my lower back and he would, like, walk up. Not on my spine. Don't do that. Walk up, like, toward my upper back. And every time he got to my upper back, it was, like, a form of breath play. Because, like, I couldn't move to, like, fill my lungs, and I did not anticipate that at all. So he would stand there for, like, a little bit longer than was comfortable and then step off, and then there was this, like, very, very intense, like, rush of euphoria of, like, when you can breathe again. And it was, like, honestly, like, one of the most euphoric things I've ever experienced in kink, and I would, like, had no idea that that was gonna happen.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and I told him about that, and then he started, like, doing that on purpose more when we played with it again, and yeah, it was, like, really a rush unlike anything else. I don't know, like, how safe that is in terms of, like, risk aware.
I mean, how safe is most kink stuff?
Yeah, I know. I think, like, the important thing for him was that he needed things on either side of him that he could hold on to so that he wouldn't lose his balance and fall off. That was really crucial.
Yeah. And you can also, he can also measure how much weight he's putting on you and where with that, because his arms can take some of the weight if there's stuff. So that's really nice, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was expecting it to feel more like a massage or something, and it did not. It felt almost like someone choking me, but in a different place on my body. It was really wild.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Couple more, I don't know. I did wax play recently. That was also, like, really wild in terms of subspace. I didn't know what that was going to feel like. It felt like hot needles going into my skin. Like, it was so different from what I thought. And my partner had the foresight to tie me down, which I didn't think was going to be necessary. And it was, because I struggled so much. Have you done wax play?
Not in a scene.
Okay.
Like, I've felt wax on my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I know theoretically what it feels like, but I haven't played with it, but I would really like to.
Yeah.
Because I really liked fire play. Mm. And I really like heat and that kind of, like, burning and stuff, so.
Yeah. I thought it was gonna leave marks, because it hurt a lot. And, like, the thing I found was really interesting is, like, sometimes when my partner is hitting me or, like, doing some other, like, pain thing to me that he has direct control over, I'll, like, when it gets too intense, I'll start, like, begging him to stop and, like pleading with him. But with this, like, after he let the wax go, like, there's nothing he can do because it just hurts because it's, like, on my skin and it needs to cool down. Yeah. So I could, like, no matter what I said or, like, what noises I made, he wasn't going to, like, turn the pain off because he can't. So, like, my noises became really different and my state of mind became really different. Like, almost, like, I was so hopeless that I just went into, like, a deeper subspace because there was nothing I could do to affect what was going on. It was so weird.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. I did tickling too, which I know that we've talked about a lot. I found out I hate tickling. I just... I hate it. I hate it so fucking much.
It's so much. It's so intense.
I do not enjoy it. It might be a hard limit for me. Like, actually, I have very few hard limits. It might be. It's just, like, I hate it so much that it just makes me feel, like, overwhelmed to the point of, like, not wanting to do anything else afterward. Like,
yeah, I don't know that it's something, like, I don't know. When I'm in the mood for it, I'm, like, super into it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it incorporates well into all of my bully stuff.
Yeah.
That I'm into.
Yeah.
You know, so also generally when I've done it, I've been held down while being tickled and like the holding down part is a big part of it too. Like someone sitting on me to hold me there to tickle me or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I've had that a couple times.
I was in the under the bed restraints, I think, when we did like a full on tickling scene and I hated it so much. Like, I really try not to safe word. I try to be so good, but I got very, very close to safe wording in that scene because I just hated it. And it's tough because, like, you're laughing, so it doesn't seem like you hate it.
Right?
So I feel like people don't quite understand, because I would be there being like, I hate this. My partner would be like, okay.
Yeah, and because it's so, like... It's deceptively intense.
Yeah.
Like, you can't... You look at it and you're like, oh, it's fine. And you're like, I can't breathe. Every muscle in my face and abdomen hurt.
Yes.
And I cannot stop.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is, like, a million sit-ups. Like, that's what's happening. Every muscle in your abdomen is clenching and, like, curling you inward.
Yeah.
And you're laughing, so your entire face is lit up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know how your face is sore after going to, like, a funny movie? Like, it's that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So it, like, it's genuinely, like, an endurance pain play thing.
Yeah, it's rough. It's really rough.
And it is really good for, like... if you like that kind of, like, mocking psychological play.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what do you mean? This is fine. You look, you love it. You love it. Like,
right.
That kind of shit, which is really edgy for some folks, but...
Yeah.
It's really good for that.
And we talk a lot in DS about the difference between, like, a punishment and a funishment. So, like, a quote-unquote punishment that's, like, fun for me would be, like, a spanking. But if I want, like, a real punishment, like, I actually fucked up and I need to be punished for something, like, tickling is honestly the thing. But it's weird because, like, it doesn't look like that from the outside at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of what I enjoy about it. I had my first girlfriend had a tickling fetish and, like, I didn't really understand it at the time. But, like, yeah, we played with that a little bit, and I didn't, like, quite get the depth of what we were doing, but, yeah.
Yeah. And two more things I did this year, real quick. I did e-stim, which I had weirdly never tried before. Do you remember when we were at the Dildo Holiday blogger retreat thing?
Uh-huh.
And there was one night when everybody was just, like, trying out the neon wand or whatever on each other, and I, like... I am really shy, and I didn't really know anybody that well in that group, so, like, people were trying it out on each other, and I, like, wanted to try it, but I was, like, too shy to ask for it, so I just, like, didn't.
Oh.
And then years went by, and I still hadn't tried one, and then I got to this year. And that, again, is just, like, a thing that makes me very, very subspacey. It feels like getting tattooed, as you have observed to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm learning from talking about this is that I like to be in subspace.
Yeah. I haven't been in subspace in so long, and I really miss it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need... I need to someone to beat the crap out of me sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm sure that can be arranged.
Yeah.
And I did a lot of role play this year. Mostly over the phone. But recently I did do an in-person role play with my partner where we met up at a hotel bar and pretended to be strangers. Like, we basically pretended I was me, I was a journalist interviewing him for a thing, and he was him, like an app developer being interviewed for a thing, except we just, like, didn't know each other. And what I learned from that mostly is that, like, flirting is a huge turn-on for me, which I think I, like, hadn't really totally realized yet. Like, mm-hmm. You've been telling me for years you're a flirting fetishist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit like a game.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
I was talking about how I was texting someone recently and approaching it like a chess match.
Yep, strategic. But still fun.
Yeah, chess is fun.
It's so fun, yeah. I think what appeals to me about it especially is, like, because I'm so submissive, I really like the feeling of someone else having control over me. Especially if, like, I can't even control my reactions, like, you know, blushing and giggling and stuff. And, like, really good flirts can do that to me. And it mm-hmm. is, it makes me feel very submissive if done well.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah. And I'm sure being able to do that with, like, this role play with a partner who knows you so well,
mm-hmm.
you get that kind of, which I know is very much your thing, this stranger all of a sudden knows exactly how to manipulate you
yeah.
and knows exactly what to do, you know what I mean? And that's yeah. that's really cool.
It was so good, yeah. It really reminded me of, like, how much kink is just basically grown-ups playing pretend and, like, how fun it can be when you lean into that. And, like, when I wrote about it on Twitter, I got a ton of questions from people being like, but how do you take yourself seriously and how do you not just laugh and how do you, like, stay in character when you know that this is your partner? And I think, like, as with dirty talk, like, we often tell people, like, just fucking commit to it. Like, just decide. Like, even if it sounds silly, like, just be okay with that, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, so I would need to do this with a partner who I was, like, really super comfortable with. Because it is kind of, like, silly. Because you're basically in public playing an improv game. It's, like, kind of a weird thing to do. But it was so great.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think just, I think, like you said, leaning into the silly. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be serious.
Yeah, totally. Let's talk about toys.
Oh, shit, yeah. Let's talk about toys.
What were your fave sex toys this year?
The Gambler. I love it so much.
Gambler by Vixen Creations. Tell yes. me about the Gambler, Vex.
It's giant and amazing.
It is a giant, realistic dildo.
Yeah, it's the dual-density silicone, so it's yeah. squishy on the outside, firm on the inside. It's 3 inches in diameter and, like, a fuck ton of inches long. I don't know, 11-something or other.
I love the pictures of you with it because you look like a tiny little boy fellating a giant. It's my fave. It's such a look.
I love the one where I'm just like... Like, gleeful. I look so excited, like, I'm holding a fish I just caught, like...
Jack and the Beans cock? I don't know.
No. But it's so good. It's massive, but it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see that you've continued further down your size bean path.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm.
By
next year, you'll be taking fire hydrants.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Cool, the Gambler. What else are you loving?
That was honestly, like, my go-to for most of the year. That, I use the Leroy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
From New York Toy Collective, another, like, really big... Just a lot of huge, realistic internal toys. And yeah. my magic wand.
Yeah, makes sense.
I used a couple of strokers. The Calex stroker for trans guys is pretty good. But, yeah, I don't know, I was pretty stuck in my routine. Mm-hmm. I like the dicks I like, and I just kind of stuck with them for most of the year.
Yeah, my year's kind of like that, too. I just sort of, like, used a lot of Old Faithfuls. I'm still using a lot of stuff by Fucking Sculptures, which shut down last year, and that's really sad. I love Glass Toys. I use their Double Trouble and Corkscrew, like, all the time, several times a week. Still love the Magic Wand, still love the Aroslator, the Tango. I did receive Wii Vibe's new Anniversary Collection this year, which is a new updated version of the Tango with also the Sync, which is their hands-free, Bluetooth-controllable, quote-unquote couples vibrator that I actually quite rarely use with partners. and I really like those. They put it in a little travel-friendly case that also charges it, and it's just, like, it's so rare that sex toy companies, like, actually update a thing and it's actually better.
Yeah, WeVibe is pretty much one of the only companies, I think, that I've seen do that really well.
Yeah, although I will say, like, if you're a diehard fan of the Tango, it is a little bit of a different Tango. Like, the settings are a little bit different. Mm. It's, there's bigger jumps between them, I think, and it's slightly buzzier, and it doesn't work quite the same way in how you like scroll through the settings, but I mean, I'm fine with it. I'm a Tango purist and I can still get off with this thing, so.
Yeah, you fucking love the Tango.
Yeah, I do. Mine keeps dying though because they have the shittiest batteries.
They really do. Oh my god, they're terrible.
Yeah, so I tend to use more like electric ones these days. Like, I use the Aroslator probably the most, and then Magic Wand after that, so. Yeah. The one, like, new thing I guess I can talk about is, I was pronouncing this company's name Uber Rhyme, but I read a review on a Piffer's website that says it's pronounced Uber Rime.
Oh, I don't know. I've never even tried.
Yeah, I don't know. So Peep Show Toys sent me one of Uber Rime's dildos. It's called the Night King, and they thought I would like it because it's really long, so it would be good for A-spot stuff, and they were right. It indeed hits that spot. It's very good. I'm not super big on silicone dildos anymore, but, this one I do like. What about worst toys? Did you try any awful ones this year?
No. I didn't experiment with toys this year, really.
Yeah, I'm
literally, like, opening my sex toy drawer to look. Here's the thing, I'm a jaded old fuck.
You've been in this business too long.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't. I haven't tried new I try what works for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's not... I have not really tried anything new and terrible this year, I don't think. At least nothing memorably terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't review a super lot of sex toys this year. I think the worst one that I tried would have to be the Cowgirl. So if you don't know, we talked about this, maybe it was our episode about overrated sex toys, but, so the Cowgirl's basically, like, a new take on the Sibian. It's, like, a big fucking rideable vibrator with an unnecessarily cis-sexist name, that we called them out on, and they gave us kind of a bullshit answer and have not changed, so.
Yep.
Thanks, looking forward to the Cowpoke in 2019, But it's so terrible, for me, like, for how my body works. I'm sure that there are people who would like it, but, like, for me, like, sitting, like, straddling a vibrator sounds like the least sexy and least relaxing position, and the vibrations were, like, too buzzy and too strong for me, and I just, like, had a fucking nightmare of a time. I had to package it up and have it FedExed back to SheVibe, who had let me borrow it to review it. And FedEx just, like, fucked me around a lot when I was trying to get it back. And so I just had, like, days of anxiety about this thing. I was like, come take it away, please. No. There's no room in my apartment. I want to be able to walk around.
Yeah, I didn't like the Sibian. And then, like, they said I could try the Cowgirl when we, like, went to that thing. But that was immediately after they were like, no, it's not for men. Do you want to try it? And I was like, bitch, no.
No.
You fucking son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we'll talk more next week about, like, what we want to see in 2019. But, like, a big thing for me is, like, don't gender your toys if you don't need to. And, like, you probably don't need to. There's very little reason to do that.
Yeah.
Also, like, dicks can enjoy vibration, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. That's, like, why? You're just unintentionally making your market smaller.
Yeah. One last thing before we cut off this part one of our year-end wrap-up. We are going to continue next week with more stuff and more thoughts for 2019. But what sex media did you love this year? Books, movies, educational materials, that kind of thing.
So my friend Liz released the book called Building Open Relationships that was absolutely fantastic.
Dr. Liz Powell, who we want to have on our show because they're incredible.
Yeah, they're really, really great. And they wrote this amazing book. It's probably, like, my go-to polyamory resource now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it gives language to so much stuff that, like, I didn't have the language for, but is true for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really love books that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then Kevin Patterson also released Love's Not Colorblind. I think that was this year.
I think so, yeah.
Or was that? Yeah, I don't know. This has been the world's longest year.
Yeah.
but I know he also released For Hire Operator this year, which is a queer polyamorous superhero book with trans folks in, like, as main characters and stuff, and it's really, really good.
Amazing.
I'm not super far into it yet, but it's great.
Yeah, I have my copy sitting on my shelf at home. I got so much to read. Yeah. Okay, a couple of my faves this year. I read Mind Play by Mark Wiseman, which if you're interested in erotic hypnosis, you gotta read Mind Play. That's kind of the go-to recommendation. It's like a primer on, like, what you gotta know to hypnotize someone or be hypnotized in terms of, like, technique, but also ethics and style and, like, why it can be hot and what kinds of things you can do with it. It is just kind of the best resource that I've ever found on that, so would recommend. And another thing I really loved this year was the documentary about Melina Williams and her husband, who is also her master. And that movie is called The Artist and the Pervert. And you can check it out online. They are doing screenings at, like, festivals and stuff. But if you ever have an opportunity to go, like, I would highly recommend it. It's, like, a really beautiful portrait of, like, what DS can look like in the day-to-day. And also just, like, two really creative, inspirational people doing whack creative shit. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. Okay, so we will be back next week with more year-end wrap-up thoughts and goals for the next year. I would love to know on Twitter, like, what was your favorite new kink or new sex activity that you tried this year? Yeah, you can tweet at us at the Dildorks.
Yeah.
I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where's your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at bextalksex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at bextalksex. Together, we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at thedildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. It brings us up in the charts and makes us easier for other folks to find.
Thank you so much to Protodome. He did our theme song. It's called I Want You in My Bedroom. His music is at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy, who did our logo for us. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time and next year, folks.
This get is out there out. And live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye. You swooped in. Stole it right from under me.
It did. You're the editor. You can steal it back. It's just gonna cut weirdly to, like, your voice in a completely different place. So get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
I want to tell you a story in the bloops, actually.
Okay.
When I was interviewed for Trends Like These recently, at the very end, Brent
asked me. You did great on that, by the way.
Thank you. I thought it went pretty well.
It was really, really good. You were, like, you researched really, really well.
Thank you. Well, my partner used to work at Tumblr, so, like, he knows this shit.
Yeah.
But, so at the end, Brent asked me to, like, list off all my stuff, and I said something about our show, but I kind of, like, my mouth did a weird thing, and I tried to say, we talk about kinky shit, and I just was like, we talk about kinky shit. Like, it just, like, didn't, it didn't work. So I went in and I switched it for a, like, I did another take of it before I sent him the file, and I edited it really badly, so if you listen to the thing, you can hear this really awkward edit. I feel bad, but, like, I couldn't let that stand.
Amazing.
I needed them to know that we talk about kinky shit. It's important.
It is important. We do.
So good.